Hey friend, welcome back to another One Income Family episode. Today we have an interesting topic, three truths about living on one income and why your budget isn't helping. Like, did you even think about the fact that your budget may be the problem and not necessarily the fact that you are living on one income? Well, today we talk all about that. We dive deep into elaborating on what is going on with your budget, whether it's working for you or causing more harm. In today's episode, we dive deep into your budget. And I don't want to spoil it, but the last point that I have for you is mind-blowing. Like, the fact that it came out of me is just from God, because I was so surprised when I wrote this down. I was like, oh my gosh, it makes sense, but I never put that into words until now, and I am obsessed. So I hope that it helps you just as much as it has helped me, and I am super excited to get going on this episode. So go grab that laundry, let's get folding and dive in. Hey friend, welcome to the One Income Family Podcast. Do you live primarily on your husband's income and find it hard to save or get out of debt? Are you constantly searching for ways to cut costs, live frugally, and do things on a budget? Do you have big dreams only to be stopped by overspending and loosely following your budget? Hey, I'm Molly, and I too have struggled with living and growing a family on one income. But through trial and error and a lot of help from God, my family and I have learned how to live abundantly on less. This podcast will bring you a Christ-centered, simple, and frugal lifestyle, along with how to budget so you can follow it, and time management tips that will transform your budget and your home. So go restart that laundry, grab your Bible, and let's get budgeting. All right, so before we get into the nick of things, I just want to remind you that I am going to start reading reviews right here on the podcast, like I said last episode, in case you didn't catch it. So if you want your review read out loud right here on the show, go and leave me a quick review either on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever platform that you listen to, so that you can get your review read out loud right here on the show. Like, I'm super excited about it. I just feel like I'm repeating it over and over. But by doing this, not only does it let me know that you're enjoying the show, but it helps boost the show out there to other mamas who may be in need. Oh, and don't forget to follow me so that you're notified when these new episodes come out every Tuesday, and then you can hear if you're you can hear if your review, that's the word I'm looking for, made it onto the show. All right, so you may be asking, why are we talking about budgeting in this way? Because most people just say you need to sit down, you need to create a budget, you need to, you know, look at the things you've done in the past, all these basic steps, but they've never actually told you how to make your budget actually work for you and feel authentic, rather than just something cookie cutter that you got from somebody else and you are following what they say you should do, which sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. It's just, it's a very fine line, but it's something that I want to talk about, because when you're living on one income, your income, just like your house, should mimic who you are as a family. It should mimic your likes, your dislikes, the homey feeling. Everything that you think of in your home should be shown in your budget as well. It should show the things that you like to do as a family, the things that you enjoy spending time on, spending money on, and actually take time to do it, the things that you are okay with doing rather than what somebody else might not want to spend their time on. And that's why it's so important to have a budget that is working for you. It's authentic to your family and not to somebody else. And one living on one income just really makes it that much more important because you have less money to delegate into those situations, and you have to figure out smart, crafty ways to actually be able to do the things that you love as a family. I'm not saying that you have to no longer go, I don't know, on vacation or go and have those fun family weekend trips anymore. You just have to figure out a different way to do it, and still you can do it. Trust me, I do it all the time. I go camping and I love it, and we do it on one income. But that's why your budget has to be authentically for you and your family. And it's so important that you actually show your likes and dislikes, not only for if somebody else were to look at your budget, but for you when you go to make decisions. I know that when I became a one income family, we sat down, well, I sat down and created a budget because I love budgeting and my husband's not really into it, but I created a budget so that we were able to cover all of our basic needs, the things that we needed to live, to survive, to be able to live in our house and have enough money and have enough cushion that if something were to happen, we could still, you know, be okay. I'm not saying that we have a big cushion by any means, but, you know, we have a little bit of leeway so that we can do the things that we want. But it's not a lot of money, and you still have to figure out ways to be crafty to actually be able to do those things because you can't do them the same way you did before. You don't have the money for it. I don't have the money for it. I have to figure out a different way of doing it. And once I did that, my mind just exploded with ideas. I'm just so, I'm excited about some of the things I figured out, even just today as I sat down and budgeted for the family. It was awesome, some of the things God revealed to me, which is for another episode, but it's still by having a budget that I know that is authentically for my family, I can go and know that I'm going to make decisions that are going to actually be things that my family enjoys rather than just things that I think I should do and don't actually bring us joy. So let's get into the training so that I stop rambling because I could continue on. But I think you want to hear more about the things that I have to say on the matter, like the three truths. Like, what are those three truths, right? And then why isn't the budget helping in each of those situations? So, point number one is living on one income is hard and a lot of work because you have to figure out, especially at the beginning, you have to figure out your new budget. You have to figure out how to live on one income when you're used to living on two incomes. Like, it's not easy to break those habits. You have to really dig deep and create this budget and be diligent on sticking to the budget, even if you don't want to, which, oh my gosh, it can be so hard sometimes. I'm right there with you because I want to spend money on things that I just don't have. But at the same time, I go back to the budget and it tells me, it's kind of like a way of giving me a yes or no of whether I should buy something. And it takes the emotion out of buying a little bit, if that makes sense. So, like, what do I mean that it could be a lot of work? Is that specifically, you have a limited amount of money and a limited amount of time. You have to figure out which money or time you are willing to spend in each and every situation. There is no easy button. Gosh darn it, right? Too bad there wasn't an easy button. I wish there was. It'd make life so much easier, right? But in all reality, the things that are good and are worth it in life are the hard things, because once you actually get through it, you feel so good. For instance, I was good at school. School came so easy to me that when it came to graduating, it just felt like, well, duh, that's what's supposed to happen. I was never the, oh my gosh, I'm so excited, I'm graduating, woohoo! nope, that was not me. I was just like, do I have to walk? I don't want to do this. Especially by the time I went to high school, then I went to a junior college, which was 2 years. Then I went to a 4-year college, which was just another 2 years, you know. But by the third time I was graduating and walking down the aisle, I was just like, yeah, nope, I don't want to do this anymore. But that's why. It's because it came easy to me, and having the easy button just isn't something that you want, especially if you want it to mean something. So by figuring out what you're willing to sometimes sacrifice in order to do the thing that you're doing, having a budget that works for you and is, again, authentic to your family is how you're going to do that easily and with less stress. Your budget doesn't help because it's not built around the things that are important to your family. So when that situation comes up and the information isn't relative to you, like I mentioned earlier, you're not able to create a actual decision that is authentic to your family. Your decision, like I mentioned earlier, is just only gonna be like the bare minimum of things, and it's not gonna bring you joy, and it's just like something, okay, I have to do this, so I'll do this with a little bit of an eye roll. I don't really want to, but I will. And we don't want that. We want you to be excited about the fact that you get to do whatever it is, even if it's hard work getting there, because it's going to be hard work getting there, right? Okay, so how do you go about fixing this? First and foremost, go to God. Go to God. Pray to Him. Ask Him to guide your thoughts, and then give it 24 hours for Him to answer you. And for you to find out if you actually want it, or if it's just something that you want rather than something you need, which there's nothing wrong with getting things that you want as long as you have the money for it, as long as it's in the budget and it's something that brings you and your family joy. If it's just some impulse buy that you don't actually want, you're never going to wear it or you're never going to use it, then don't get it. Again, give it 24 hours. Let it sit there in your cart. If it's at the store, wait. Walk around the store. If you still remember and you still want it, then go back and get it. But 9 times out of 10, whenever I do that, I'm like, I don't want to go back there and get it. That means I have to walk and I'm ready to go, so I don't actually need it. That's definitely how it works. Or else I'm like, okay, yeah, I really need that. Let's go back and get it. I don't really want to walk back there, but let's go get it. Okay. So the second point. Oh, I totally missed. There was another point to how to fix that on. Rewind. Okay. So fix it by first going to God, then allowing yourself 24 hours. But you also, in your budget, need to start creating goals that you and your family want to achieve. You need to start looking at the things that you enjoy and actually put it in the budget so that you know if it's something that's going to bring you joy. For instance, I put in my budget, I put camping, I put weekend trips, I put unexpected expenses because my husband right now, he's trucking, and there are sometimes he just ends up having to stay out in the truck and he has nothing to eat, so I have to be able to have money for him to go out and eat, otherwise he's gonna sit there and be hungry. But I can also get creative and figure out another way of making sure he has food by, you know, going to the store and getting groceries that can stay on the shelf, like canned items. I have to be careful because it gets super hot, but we can still figure something out and be creative. Okay. Again, I could go down that rabbit hole, but let's rewind and go to point number two. So point number two is, I should reiterate, the second truth about living on one income is that it's a two-person job. It's not a one-person job. And what I mean here is that you and your husband each need to be a part of the whole process. That doesn't mean that one person doesn't sit down and pay the bills and one person doesn't sit down and, you know, write up the budget. I'm talking about the whole process. I'm talking about when you sit down and you look at this budget, you see that there are two different people in it, and it's not just one thing. Because when there's one thing, that's when the feelings get hurt, that's when things get misconstrued, that's when things just fall apart real fast. And, you know, you could have something get missed because it wasn't delegated. Trust me, when it comes to budgeting, I love to write down the initial budget, but when it comes to the implementation process of everything, I love to delegate. Delegate, delegate, delegate. Do only the things that you enjoy doing and you're good at. And then let the other person do the stuff that they enjoy doing and that they're good at. Your budget is showcasing only one person. Like I said, oh goodness, it's raining. I better go get my plants inside. Oh man, all right, I'm back and drenched, but that's okay, right? I'm in the process of hardening off my plants for the garden. And yeah, so they can only be outside for a certain amount of time, and they're in small little red solo cups. So if they get too much rain, yeah, that would not be good. I don't want to kill my plants. I had looked at the radar and it said it was fine, but apparently that was not the case. Anyways, all right, where was I at? I was talking about, okay, so your budget, it's only showcasing one person, meaning you only have one budget. Now, don't get your panties in a wad. This doesn't mean that you're going to be doing more work, but rather less. Like I said, you will be delegating. After creating one big overall budget, you need to separate it into a his and hers. And I don't mean like you're going to have this column his, this column hers. And you might not even see it if you're an outsider, but you know that, for instance, I have a section that says my name and the amount that goes into my account. I have an amount that says my husband's name and the amount that goes into his account so that he can take care of the things that he needs without me having to, you know, track a budget or track the money going in and out of one account and whether he spent something or didn't spend something. That's just a headache. But I'm also talking about the fact that you need to allow him to do the things that he enjoys doing or he is good at doing. Like me, I do the meal planning. So I get the groceries, I get the other consumable items that we need, like shampoo, conditioner, toilet paper, that kind of stuff. But he's good at vehicles. So he takes care of the vehicle maintenance, of the parts, of the oil, of everything like that. He does the research for it, and then we decide together on what to buy. It's the same thing. Like, that's what you should have in your budget so that, again, it gets rid of the feelings being hurt, the things being missed, and you're less overwhelmed trying to do it all. It's not fun trying to do it all. It's not easy trying to do it all. We're not meant to do it all. We are meant to do it together. And that's why this budget should be done together in a partnership rather than one person saying, well, this is what's happening. You have to follow along. Nobody enjoys that. That's where the fights break out. Bring it together and you will be able to live in more harmony. Okay. So, like I said, the very last truth is something that is mind-blowing. And like I mentioned, once I wrote it down, I mean, it made sense. I was super excited that this, you know, flowed out of me. And I can't even say that it was from me. I got to give credit to the Lord because I'm sure that he's like, you know what? You know this and you live by it, but it's never something that you put to words. So let me put it to words for you so you can share it with other people. And that is, you do have enough money to do the fun things that you want to do. Let me say that again. You do have enough money to do the things that you want to do. Now you say, but Molly, I only have X amount of dollars and I literally live on a bare bones budget or on the smallest amount of money that I can possibly live on. How do I have the money to do fun things? You may feel like you don't have any money, but that's because you're focused on one thing that you aren't willing to spend money on. Something else that you may say is important to you, you don't, because your budget doesn't show you that. Okay, let me explain it this way. That's getting a little confusing. Rewind. Okay, to say it in a better way, that's a really great way to explain this, I'm going to use a way that I've heard a time, whether or not you have time to do something situation. So I once heard that if you say that something is important to you, but you don't give it the time, then what you're actually saying is that it's not actually important to you. It's not a priority. That was like a slap in the face when I heard that. But it is the same thing for your money. If you say something is important to you, but you don't put your money where your mouth is, it's really not important to you. It's not a priority. Like, oh my gosh, did that hit hard? It hit hard to me once I put that down. I was like, oh my gosh, that is so true. So what's truly important to you, it's not on your budget. That's why you're struggling. That's why you say you don't have enough time to do things and you don't have the money to do it either. When you look for money to spend time with your family, it's going to tell you that you don't have the money because your budget is so focused on just the basic needs. Did you ever think about that? You're so focused on your basic needs that the things that are important to you aren't in there. And I'm not saying that you can go out and just throw $100 at eating out or something. But there are ways that you can get creative, that you can still go out and spend time together and have fun. Maybe instead of eating a full meal, you just get ice cream and you take like sandwiches or something along for the actual meal, but then you go and you get ice cream and you go and eat it at the park. Is that not fun? Is that not something you would enjoy? I know I would. Excuse me. So how do you fix this? Just like I said for point number one. So think back, what did I say? I said you need to create a budget that's focused on your family's wants and needs, that is authentic to your family. You need to create goals that embrace your desires and then make a plan and follow it. God will guide your steps and submit the plan to Him so that He even has more room to guide you. But you have to make the change now. It's so powerful, so powerful. Okay, so to sum up everything that I just said, the three truths are, one, living on one income is hard and a lot of work. But if you create a budget around your true wants and needs, deciding if you should spend your money or time on it will be a lot easier. Two, living on one income is a two-person job, not a one-person job. Stop trying to do all the things. Delegate and allow yourself to do what you do best and allow your husband to do what he does best. Three, and the last but not least, you do have the money. You just have your priorities mixed up. You have allowed the world to dictate what is important to you rather than what truly is important to you and your family. So go and change up your budget. Sit down with your husband and create goals that light the both of you up. Then, you know, why don't you come and shoot me an email? I would love to hear what you have come up with. Or if you have any questions, I'm here for you too. But definitely Let me know what your budget is, your goals that light you up, because I think it'd be so fun to hear that. So, as always, don't forget to go and write a review so that you can be featured on the show. And while you're at it, follow the show so that you're notified and can listen to the next episode and see if your review made it onto the show. Hey friend, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I pray that it inspired you into action. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with that friend who also lives on one income and wants to learn how to live abundantly on less? Also, please leave a quick review for the show. It lights me up to know this podcast is helping you, and it helps get the show out there to other mamas in need. All right, well, it's time to go play with the babies, so I will meet you back here on Tuesday for another episode. Peace and chicken grease, mama.